We are going to look at Christ today. And as our scripture reading from Hebrews 1 told us, Christ has been appointed the heir of all things. And in John chapter 16, and in verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Everything that belonged to the Father now belongs to Christ. Think about how much that is. The nations, we're told, have been given to Christ as his inheritance. In Psalms, it was predicted and foretold. In Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. So everything belongs to Christ. Everything is gathered together under the rule of Christ. That's why he is the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 10, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. All things are summed up, brought together in Christ. And that we, as God's people, are then his inheritance. In verse 18 of the same chapter, of Ephesians 1, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? Christ inherited all of us. And what is amazing is that we're also then called to be joint heirs with Christ. In Romans chapter 8, and in verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Christ himself is pleased then to call us brethren. And he mentions this in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We need to consider how great our elder brother is, the one who calls us, the one who we belong to. See, Christ made the world. In Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. It was through Christ that this world came to be. Through Christ that we have our existence. Through Christ that we have this universe. God created all things through Jesus. That verse that was read earlier by Gary in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and in verse 3. all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Everything was created by Christ. And down in verse 10, he says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The world did not recognize its own creator when that creator came into this world. Yet he will still outlast his creation. In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews 1 and in verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all become like an old garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up, and like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Think about how great his handiwork was. We can't even measure the immensity of the universe he created. And we can't even see the minute details within a single atom. And yet one hand created all of it. Take a look at Psalms 148. Psalms 148. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise him all his hosts. Praise him sun and moon. Praise him all stars of light. Praise him highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountain and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowls, kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and judges of all the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him, praise the Lord. Christ deserves our praise. He deserves to be glorified just for the creation of which he made. And that creation is sustained by his word. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 17. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's an interesting statement. What keeps this universe going? The Bible says it's Christ. He spoke this world into existence. For instance, in Psalms chapter 33, Psalm 33 and in verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the water of the seas together as a heap. He lays the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, of course, John tells us that Jesus is that word. In John chapter 1 and in verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when we look at the creation in Genesis chapter 1, we won't take time to read that. But in that creation, each day starts out, "And God said." Jesus is the Word. The world, the universe was created through Him. Through the Word. The world was formed into existence, and it came from absolutely nothing. Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." And we look at people that do all sorts of wonderful things. They take materials and create wonderful looking things. But they're starting with something that already exists. What we have never existed. Yet God made it. And it was done by the word of God. And that world continues to be preserved by that same word. In 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 5. "For when they maintained this..." Excuse me. "For when they maintained this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly man." Through Jesus, the word, this world is kept until the day when it will be destroyed. You know, Christ perfectly reflects the glory of God. In Psalms 84, Psalms 84, and in verse 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good things does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Think about what it means. God is a sun. Now, he's not talking about literally. He's saying that he's like a sun. God is a sun. You know, when we try to attempt to look at the sun, we don't see the sun. We see all the light the sun gives off. But we can't see the sun itself. In fact, just trying to see through the glory of the sun damages our eyes. It injures us because it's too bright. That's why they warn you to wear those glasses during the eclipse and things like that. People want to look, but you can't see the sun directly. God is like a sun. We don't really see him. We see his glory. We see his greatness. We see his vastness. But we really don't see God directly. That's why John chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us. John chapter 1 verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." I can't comprehend God, but Christ is helping us to explain who God really is to us. And Jesus has shown us the Father. In fact, that's what it states here. Jesus' glory is the glory of God. Back in verse 14 of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 14. "The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus himself is as glorious as God the Father. yet he explained them to us. And in Jesus, then, we see the fullness of the Godhead, though in bodily form. In Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9, for in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. Christ, then, is the expressed image of God. He is the image of the God whom we cannot see. In Colossians again, chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He's qualified to represent the Father to the world. He had the glory of God before the world even existed. Take a look at John chapter 17. John 17 and in verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus shared that glory. And so he can explain it to us. He can show us it. He was with God, and he was God, as John 1:1 says. Only Christ can really demonstrate who God is, because he is God. And being God, he shared with the Father the form of God. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He was equal with God. He was in that form. And yet he came into this world to purge us of our sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews 9 and verse 14, how much more would the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? By his shed blood, we are offered forgiveness of our sins. The problems that we cause, that we have, the very creator of the world came into this world to offer himself. He cleansed us from all our sins. In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sins. He bought us back with his own sacrifice. He redeemed us at a great personal cost. If we go over to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And also in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And our Lord, our Christ, is in heaven, and he is at the right hand of God. Christ now rules from a position of honor. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Christ now rules from a position of honor and of glory. He is turn to his position as God. Also take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 1 Peter 3 and verse 22. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. And so truly he is worthy of our honor. He has done so much on our behalf. Our very existence depends on him. Our very salvation was bought by him. And it says in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 9, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Daniel, in a prophecy back in Daniel chapter 7, foresaw this glory. In verse 13 of Daniel 7, "I kept looking on in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." In fact, John in Revelation 5 sees Christ receiving his power, his riches, his glory, his honor, presented to him before the throne of God, as all of heaven rejoices. Christ is worthy of all that we can give him. So think about, will you not give him your praise, your respect, your honor? Would you not give yourself as a living sacrifice, bending your will to the King of Kings? Because there is where the power belongs and exists. Help you think about these things. If there's anyone who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected?